It's Friday, March 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Having a great show for you tonight, and wow, I am back from the West Coast. Have I got a story to tell? I hope that you stayed up late for me here on this Friday evening, because I got a great one. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Whispering confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio, overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I want to encourage you to get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Check out our archive podcasts, video and audio, available via the podcast link on the website. I also want to encourage you, of course, to get subscribed to the podcast. That way, you'll be guaranteed to never miss a solitary episode of the show here. But it's kind of weird doing this on a Friday night. It's been an interesting week. I thought I was going to be able to do a show Monday, but I'll talk about what happened there here in a few minutes. Those of you on the newsletter got the information on what transpired. But speaking of, I guess, the newsletter, if you're not signed up for the newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during today's show. And you get subscribed to that. I'll email that to you immediately following the end of the show tonight. And basically, you'll be reminded that, number one, there's a show out. Number two, you'll have all the links of everything that I'm going to cover. And to keep you linked in here with the community, it's not something where there's any chatting going on. Again, it's just two emails a week from the show. And, of course, this show is produced normally every Monday and Thursday night around 8 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time. And then it is released Tuesday and Friday morning normally, but tonight it'll be obviously coming out Saturday morning. But really what happened was Sunday, I was scheduled to fly out the red eye to San Francisco, and I got to the airport, got checked in, and lo and behold, the equipment or the aircraft broke and they canceled the flight. So I immediately got back with an agent, and she says, oh, yeah, we can get you right out tomorrow morning at 6:30. I've got a spot for you. So by this time, it's 11, okay? So I'm thinking 6:30, need to be back at the airport at 4:30 or 5:30. And they made me take my bags. I didn't get to leave my bags checked in, so I had to wait for those to come up in baggage claim for whatever reason. And then got my bags. I got back to the house maybe midnight or so. And so I slept to about 4. Got up, got dressed, got in the car, drove to the airport, and didn't even check my email. I mean, I wasn't even looking. I got out of the car, and I got up to the checkout counter, and I heard my text message beep. So you got a message from United. And I looked at it, and it says, your 6:30 flight has canceled. And I thought, oh, man, this is not good. And so once again, approached the gate, found out what's going on. And she really didn't have nothing for me, couldn't help me. So I called the 1K desk. Being a 100,000-mile flyer really paid off, because I'm like, listen, I have to get to San Francisco. I was supposed to be there this morning. I'm already 2 flights missed. She goes, well, honey, she says, I can get you on a flight at 10:30 going to Kona. That's the Big Island, going to Kona over on the Big Island. And you can get you over there. And so then you can take the 1 o'clock that's leaving Kona for San Francisco. And that's what I did. And I think I finally got to my hotel about 11 or 11:30 Monday night, and no show, obviously, Monday night. And but anyway, no problems getting home. Everything was good. But I had a great week and a great few days in Silicon Valley, 3 full days. I flew the late flight coming back last night, which is the reason why there was no show last night. But wow, what a trip. And we'll talk just a little bit more about that here in a second. But of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the family. And if you're checking the show out for the very first time, welcome to the show. And of course, we've got listeners and viewers tuning in from 182 countries worldwide. And of course, I've already told you about signing up for the newsletter. Make sure you get subscribed to the show. For those of you that are watching live tonight on Ustream, welcome to the podcast. And of course, those of you over on Justin as well, thanks for being here. If you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address, or you can call our voicemail hotline, which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at area code 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. And of course, if you're watching me either on the Boxy or on the Roku, thanks for watching. Kick back and your lazy boy, and hope that you follow along with the from the newsletter so that you've got all those links and go check it out as you're watching the show. Or if not, just come over to geeknewscentral.com and pull the show up. Well, let me talk a little bit more about my trip. But first, we want to take care of a little business. We want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here. You know, GoDaddy really ensures that I get to pay my bills every month. And they only do that, they only support the show because you do. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. So if you're looking for a domain name, .com, a .co, if you're looking for a hosting account, virtual, dedicated, or even a shared, hosting account, or even any one of their other great products, think about picking that up over at GoDaddy.com. And you can find some great promo codes by going over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy for all those great promo codes. Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you .coms at a low price. ComSale 2 as well. Some of those are for renewal. Some of those are for just discounts. But a whole plethora of codes over there at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, anyway, got into San Francisco. Actually, I was staying down in San Jose, San Jose Hilton. And started off with meetings immediately Tuesday morning. Very early. As a matter of fact, had a breakfast meeting to try to make up time for meetings that were lost on Monday, and visited folks in Palo Alto. I was in Mountain View. I was in several startup companies' offices. I went and saw the folks at Roku. So I had a good roundabout meeting with a variety of different companies, some of it having to do with our NAB announcement that we're going to be making next month. And we're pretty excited about that. I haven't even hinted very much about what's going on there, but the guys are swarming to secrecy, and we went and briefed some of the companies that we're going to interacting with that's going to be affected by our announcement, and put some agreements in place. So that went really well. And then Thursday, I actually went into San Francisco. It was raining cats and dogs. It was just insane. And it took me 2 hours and 40 minutes to get from San Jose into like 2nd Street in San Francisco, which is normally in rush hour traffic, hour and a half, maybe, you know. So it was, man, it was bad. It really, really was. And but anyway, bounced around San Francisco most of the morning and into early afternoon, and then just barely made it back to SFO and got on my flight for basically 5 o'clock show and 7 o'clock departure. Got back in here to Honolulu and got in late last night. So that was really kind of my escapades in Silicon Valley over the past couple of days. And I want to thank you all for being patient with me being out of pocket. But of course, the writers at Geek News Central have kept you guys busy from a content standpoint. And of course, I always want to give them a round of applause. You know, they've done a great job our writers have at geeknewscentral.com. We've got a great team now. They're putting out a lot of content, and I want to thank them for all their hard work. One thing I want to do is I'm going to have a contest, new contest starting today. And this actually was waiting for me when I got home. This is from Seagate. It's a GoFlex Slim. It's a hard drive. Now, I'm going to be taking it out of the box, and I'm going to be doing some testing. It's a USB 3.0 high-performance drive. It's really, I mean, if you guys can see it, it's really thin. And so it's got the USB 3.0 interface with the little adapter and everything. So I'll be doing a test on this, but I'll be very careful to keep the packaging good. And we'll give this away a week from today, or actually on the next week's Thursday show. And here's how you qualify to win this prize. Number one, you can become an insider. So all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider and become an insider. If you're already an insider, you're already qualified for the contest. And if you don't want to become an insider, it has a minimum contribution of $25 on the insider page. That'll get you qualified for the contest for this giving away this nice Seagate GoFlex Slim. It's a USB 3.0/2.0 and not super big hard drive, 320 gigs, but it worked both on PC and Mac. And again, I'll be doing a full review of this, and I'll have a review up for it on a couple of days at Geek News Central, but we'll give that away on the Thursday show. And but again, yeah, it's only 320, but it is USB 3.0, so it's a speed demon from that standpoint. All right. Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to be going right into a Saturday morning tech show. I'm scheduled to really just about 9 hours from now do the Saturday morning tech show. We'll be getting started at 9 a.m. Pacific, so long as the Ohanasaurus back here doesn't give me headaches. I was messing with that today for a couple of hours to make sure it was good. And for those of you been watching the Saturday morning show, you guys will know this thing has been giving me grief in the audio patching, and something's been up. But anyway, it's working tonight. So we'll have that started tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Hey, I was on last Saturday, I was on a 24-hour podcast. I basically was invited to come in and do a one-hour segment. It was from some anime podcasters, and I'm amazed. They rose over $60,000 in their 24 hours of being online. That's an incredible amount of money. It shows you the power of podcasting. They raised $60,000 in 24 hours in a Saturday benefit by a bunch of anime podcasters supporting money going back to Japan. I think it's incredible, an incredible amount of money. I think during the hour that I was on, $2,000 to $3,000 came in. So, you know, that was what they were, you know, obviously averaging about every hour was $2,000 to $3,000. And but it's, you know, amazing amount of money that they raised, and congratulations to them. I got a lot of content for you tonight here, so we'll get into that here in just a second. Those of you know that from time to time I've been taking some college classes, and I have I'm on my final one, folks. I've got one. This is it. This is my final class, and I'm done. I am done, 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 and I'm scheduled to walk in June, and I'm very happy to be completed. So tomorrow I'll be spending all day doing homework, but nothing like doing continuing education when you are at my age. It's not fun, but one more, I'm done. I'm so happy to be on the last class. It's a math, heavy math class, and I'm going to be pulling my hair out. Hey, as a reminder here, the Audible deal is going away soon, okay? So your chance to get a free book on me is about to end, all right? We got just a few days left in this promotion, so I really want you guys that haven't been sitting on the fence, this is a time to get off the fence and go over to audiblepodcast.com/CES. That's audiblepodcast.com/CES. I've been listening to IWAS. Matter of fact, I listened on my way out to San Francisco. I was actually listening to a variety of different podcasts, and on the way back, I was listening to IWAS. What a great way to fly, fill your head with good information, and get up on tech. So I'm almost done with it. So I'm looking for a new book. So if anybody has a suggestion on Audible, let me know. We'll cover that in the next show. But you can get a free book on me. You just get a free one, okay? Just get a free one on me. Get that free 14-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com/CES. I've thoroughly enjoyed every book that I've gotten with Audible. Some are, of course, better than others, but very rarely have I gotten anything that I was bored with. So definitely check it out, and you get a free book on me again by going to audiblepodcast.com/CES. All right, let me look at my stack. I have another thing to talk about a sponsor later, and I'm thinking that's it. And just the stuff, as again, if you get comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, the hotline is 619-342-7365. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm sacrificing tonight to do this show on a Friday. I know that I promised you a show, and I wanted to make sure I was going to get one for you. But my wife and kids and some of the other friends, they're fishing. It's dark, but we do pier fishing here, and they're going to be wrapping up their fishing in about 45 minutes. So my wife is like, see, every time we go fishing, you miss because you got something to do. So I had to take a little heat. Had to take a little heat from the missus. So I hope you enjoy the tech content tonight, because I did go through and found some good stuff. I've been gone a week, so you got to just bear with me. If you've heard about this on other shows, just let me rant for a few minutes, all right? Obviously, the news came out 4 or 5 days ago that AT&T was going to merge with T-Mobile. And I heard that, and I just wanted to throw up. I'll be honest. I just wanted to puke because, first of all, AT&T is too big already, and now they're going to grab T-Mobile and merge it. There's got to be some antitrust issues, you know, but will our Congress, will our regulatory commissions ever stop these companies from becoming bigger monopolies than they already are? When is this going to end? You know? So if AT&T acquires T-Mobile, you know, T-Mobile, great customer service. They have great family plans. Great family plans. Cheap. Great service. And they're very, it's, you know, my wife and kids are all on T-Mobile. We've never had an issue. Whenever we did, we could get resolutions. With AT&T, with a stupid iPhone with AT&T, I pull my hair out. You can't even have good luck talking to a human being that lives in the United States. Don't get me wrong. Don't take this the wrong way. But, you know, give me someone that, you know, understands everything I'm saying to them. And they're going to acquire T-Mobile. When or when is this going to end? You know, when Baby Bells, when they broke up the Bells years ago and forced AT&T to become just a long-distance service. You know, this is all going back to the way it was. It's just weird. It is weird. I'm sad that this is going to happen. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback on what you think about the AT&T/T-Mobile acquisition. And I say it's a merger, whatever. It's an acquisition. And so that would leave us with Verizon, AT&T. Who else? Who else? Sprint. Sprint's looking pretty good now with the unlimited bandwidth. Amazing. Now, not only that, now in the movie theater, the movie companies, Stars, Showtime, all the groups that made deals with Netflix when Netflix was small, all of a sudden now they're worried. Well, Netflix has gotten too big for their britches, so now we're gonna stick it to them and make them pay a lot more money, and we're gonna start delaying what content's available on Netflix. So, you know, Netflix has took a couple of serious punches to the face this week at the hands of Showtime and Stars. And basically, Showtime is no longer going to be providing old seasons of Dexter and Californication. I don't think I want to watch that anyway. And Stars will delay streaming episodes of its new series, Camelot, by 90 days. And they may also withhold movies from Netflix streaming in the future. So, obviously, this is a first blow at trying to kill Netflix because, oh my gosh, they've gotten too big for their britches. And now we got to impact them, or we have to, hold content back. You know, for once as consumers, we're starting to get great digital content, right? We're able to have access to great media from our homes and not having to go. I'll be honest, I went one night to the movie theater. I went to an AMC movie theater there in San Jose because I wanted to see Battle Los Angeles. I wish I would have waited till it came out on Netflix. That was $10. I'll never get back. The popcorn was not even that great. And of course, they try to sell you a Coke that's enough for like 10 people instead of just one. And, I watched 25 minutes of previews of commercials. And then finally the movie starts for 90 minutes. So I sat through, 30 minutes of commercials and then 90 minutes of movie. What's wrong with, what happened when you used to go to the movie theater and like showed two previews and they started the movie? I swear it was like 20 or 25 minutes of previews. I just couldn't believe it. And the movie sucked. Predictable. Oh, from the very beginning, the plot line was very obvious. Anyway, long story short, that's the problem that the movie industry is up against. I have a better experience sitting at home with my family in front of my flat screen television with a Roku or a Boxy or with my Apple TV even, or even, my video on demand service from Time Warner. Actually, we don't have anymore because we cut the cord. A better experience than being at the movie theater. So, yet these companies want to kill Netflix. But this does bring up a good point. We've made some evolution here in the way we're all consuming media. An article on Technologizer sums it all up. They say, hey, they're just screens. Whether it be your iPod, your Zune, your BlackBerry, your computer. It's just screens. Content is universal across all of them now, to a certain extent. That's changing things completely for all of us. And this is one of the strategies that we've had at Raw Voice is getting this content on as many screens as we can. So that no matter where you're at, you can consume my content and our thousands of our podcasters' content via the mobile device, via your computer, via your flat screen TV, via your tablet, wherever you want to consume it. There's got to be this synergy across of being able to consume the content. And you're used to being able to consume that content everywhere, right? You can read the newspaper online, whether it be here or on your computer or watch it on the news. So if these mobile goal companies like Starz and Showtime and HBO, if they want to continue to limit the screens that you're allowed to watch content in, don't they get it? Don't they get it? The times have changed. My 21-year-old, she doesn't watch TV. TV is her laptop. She about had a coronary when her laptop broke. Power cord went out and she's freaking out just over a power cord. You thought that their laptop was smashed, but it was just, the power cord. But that was her TV. That was her way of connecting. And if Hollywood continues its plan to kill Netflix, I think us as consumers are going to revolt because many of us are consuming content a lot different now. So I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on what you think is going on with big media. And their ability now to kind of trying to squash all of us into the consumption devices that they want us to be in. And you look at them screaming at Time Warner. Time Warner really, I'll hand it to them. they went out on a limb and put together an iPad app that is allows you, when you're sitting at home in bed and don't have the TV on, to watch a number of channels right from your iPad. That was brilliant. They know, Time Warner knows things are changing. Yet, all the channels that they license that content from, we didn't give you permission to do that. Sorry, folks, the genie is out of the bottle. Let's switch topics here. I'd love to hear your feedback. Please, please email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is available for you to rant as well, along with me at 619-342-7365. The Congressional Budget Office this week released a report that said taxing people based on how many miles they drive is a possible option for raising new revenues, and that these taxes could be used to offset the cost of highway maintenance at a time when federal funds are short. Let me think about this for a second. Have you been in the gas station lately? Have you stuck that nozzle in your tank and pulled the trigger and started to fill your car up with gas? Did you know that as you're filling your car up and putting gas into your tank, that the tax that you're being taxed on that fuel is supposed to be going to keeping your highways up to date? We're paying a tax already on our fuel to make sure our highway systems are paved and potholes are filled in. So now they want to double dip. They say, oh, we've used your money for something else. And now they want to go and tax us on miles? How are they going to do that? Our cars are getting smarter, right? Maybe our cars are going to call home to Uncle Sam, and we're going to have a little hole, a slot in the dashboard. It's going to zzzz. You owe $32.57 today for driving on our nation's highways. Please insert your Visa card here. Can you believe this? They want to spend $556 billion over the next 6 years, which will go to our federal transportation improvement programs. How much money are they collecting in fuel tax already? Is that being said anywhere? I'd like to know how much they are on that. Once you put the money towards where you're already taking it from. Sorry, it's not tech, but just... Yes, PMO. Have to keep the show child safe, that PMOs me. How about you? My good old Clearwire connection has died and I can't watch the downstream. So those of you that are on chat tonight, please keep me square on whether to make sure the stream is online or not. Oh boy. Hey, you know, I never knew about this, but apparently in the 80s, the Department of Energy started to design what would have been the biggest science experiment in the world, which would have been a superconducting super collider in Waukatchee, Texas. And those of you that are in that part of Texas, if I just destroyed your city name, I apologize. It would have dwarfed the Switzerland's Large Hadron Collider, but construction began in 91, then it was abruptly canceled in 93. Got too expensive. The project had a budget of $4.4 billion, which swelled to $12 billion. Probably by the time it had been over, it had been $100 billion. But they took the money and funded the International Space Station instead. But there's this facility out in Texas that is pretty amazing. You look at this building, it's huge. But there were some scientists that were at a convention. The folks at this meeting, the scientists, bugged out of this meeting and they went over to the facility and took some pictures. And I'm bringing these up here on the screen for you to check out. Those of you that are listening, obviously you'll want to check this out in the show notes. This is pretty cool. So here is this facility from the air and what it looks like. And there's your taxpayer dollars at work that never were utilized. And here was some of the some of the construction that was going on. But here's the facility today, abandoned and got a fence around it. But these guys essentially went in and broke in. They were able to get in the building. But originally, it kind of looked like, you know, this had all this great fancy gear inside, and now it's empty. All this equipment's been removed. Deep holes in the ground and empty hallways. And you can see there's some pretty cool stuff there. They tried to go down into the area where, because they had already started tunneling. And, but now there's essentially just empty rows, just huge building that's standing empty. Your federal taxpayer dollars at work, folks, here. Here's a multi-million dollar facility, just empty. And now the area is just filled in. And some equipment's still there, but when they went down, there was water, and they feel the tunnels are probably filled up with water. But just simply amazing, these pictures. And I sit here and read each of the captions. I think you guys will enjoy this, but it just goes to show you that back in the 90s, you know, hey, we had plenty of money back then. So, you know, spending a couple of $1 billion and then just dumping the project was no big deal. Well, why didn't they just reutilize this for something? You know, this huge building like this, just sitting there, go to waste. I wonder how many more projects are like that around the United States where our money has just been wasted. Hey, there's a, let's switch gears back in the tech. Over on PC Mag, they did a review of this portable router. And I'm always looking to get smaller with my gear. It's called the Zuni Connect. This has got a great write-up. For any of you looking for a small travel router, this thing is, this thing's pretty good. It says lightweight, has ports for charging mobile devices, has great performance. Not bad whatsoever from a small portability standpoint. I like the ability that you can charge stuff on it, and it's available for about $70. They say it has as good a performance as many, you know, big wireless or big routers that you would have in your home. So anyway, I have that link up in the show notes. You can check that out. Zuni Connect Travel Router, and I believe again $72. For the higher end model that's got the USB charging ports on it as well. One thing I'm excited to announce today is iOmega today has launched the web browser enabled Screenplay DX HD Media Center. And this is one of the first boxes that has Boxy on it that is not necessarily from Boxy. So if you're looking to pick up a nice device, and I kind of like the remote control. They didn't have this built at CES, but this isn't bad. The Screenplay DX HD Media Player with 1 terabyte of storage retails for $229 or $199 at B&H. If you want the 2 terabyte model, it's only available. That model is only available in international markets. That's $299, but the Screenplay TV Link's DX HD Media Player is available worldwide. I guess if you don't want one with a hard drive for $149, but you got to get this with a hard drive. This is the first unit that has a built-in hard drive. And again, it's got Boxy built in. And, this is not the box with Boxy. It looks just like it. Maybe there's going to be an upgrade coming to it. So hold the horses here. So this one will only do just your media. It does have access to Netflix and Pandora. So it does have some stuff in it. Forget this one. Don't buy this one. Because I had seen these at CES and he showed me these. And both of them were supposed to have Boxy in it. And I was pretty excited by that price point of $229. With the 1 terabyte of storage. But no, forget it. Wait, they got another box coming out called the iOmega TV with Boxy. That'll be later. But this was supposed to have Screenplay. Screenplay was supposed to have Boxy in it. It doesn't. I apologize if I got your hopes up there. But hold the farm on this one. Wait till the next box comes out, okay? Hopefully, they built everything into that second box that this one has got. Because this one really does have some nice features. You can play video on it, WMV, H.264, MPEG 1, 2, and 4. It'll do XVID. It'll do AVI, ASF, VOB, MP4, MOV, WMV. It'll do JPEGs, BMPs, PNGs, TIFFs, play audio, do playlist. But so I think the box, the one that has box in it is the one you want. Well, the judge is not real happy with the RIAA. The RIAA has requested trillions in damages from LimeWire. And I love what the judge says. In a scathing ruling filed earlier this month, Judge Kimba Wood of the U.S. District Court for Southern District of New York flatly rejected industry's claims that LimeWire should pay up to $150,000 of each download of some 11,000 songs included in the RIAA lawsuit. She goes on to say, the plaintiff's position on statutory damages offends the canon that we should avoid endorsing statutory interpretations that would lead to absurd results. If plaintiffs were able to pursue a statutory damage theory based on the number of direct infringers per work, defendants' damages could reach into the trillions. So while LimeWire was shut down, this judge is saying, you guys are insane. It's absurd. So really, what they wanted was $150,000 for each of the 11,000 songs, multiplied that by the number of times that the media file was infringed upon. So you start doing that math on your calculator, and folks, you run out of zeros pretty quick. How do you, you know, how do you expect to get trillions from LimeWire? Okay, you're gonna go after the CEO of LimeWire and say, okay, you owe me $1 trillion. And the guy says, what you gonna do? You gonna make me live a million years? So we'll see where this comes down and the court rulings in the future, but I love it. All right, the FCC may require mobile data roaming. Now, how many of you got in trouble with this? Don't ever go outside the United States and have your data on. Matter of fact, if you have a phone like this, an iPhone or an Android, and you leave the United States, or those of you that live somewhere outside the United States and you go to a different country, make sure you know what your data roaming plans are and how much it's going to cost you. But the U.S. Federal FCC is now working to develop a rule that would require carriers to negotiate reasonable data roaming deals with other operators. And it's obvious that some providers have been unwilling to do this and have taken steps to impede healthy competition for consumers as well. So this is good for us, but we'll see where they're reasonable. Yeah. Anything that is above about 7 cents a gig is unreasonable. And you know that they're charging huge dollars for data overage fees. Microsoft is bidding $7.5 million on net addresses. They are trying to obtain 666,000 IPv4 net addresses from the defunct Nortel. They may get it. They're the high bidder. But the folks at over at Arin, A-R-I-N, have said that the address transfers must meet policies by the organization, of course, the American Registry for Internet Numbers. And I'm sure Microsoft will clear that hurdle. But obviously, Microsoft wants some more IPv4 IPs. And the question is, why? Should they not be ready for IPv6? Or does Microsoft have problems with their infrastructure and they're not ready for IPv6 and need more IPv4? I'm telling you, it's going to get to a point where IPs are going to be worth something there. And especially for groups that aren't ready. It's going to become a commodity that's going to be traded. Over on the BBC, you know, we talked about those spammers that were basically their botnet was yanked out from underneath them with the help of Microsoft and another security firm. So now what they're trying to do is the group that was running the main servers that were controlling about 1 million PCs, they're trying to figure out who those folks are. Good luck. Here's the thing that's going to make all of you get a little bit wide-eyed. You don't think there's money in spam? To run that botnet, they needed servers that would cost about $10,000 a month. So in order that infrastructure, if you think about that, an average server is about so if you have an S3 instance, a large S3 instance is about 400. If you have a standard GoDaddy server, dedicated server, those run about $80 to $100 a month is what a dedicated server normally runs. So you just do the math. That means they had about 100 servers running this botnet of 1 million machines. And it makes sense. You're going to need, you know, some serious bandwidth there to do that. But if they were spending $10,000 a month to run the botnet, how much were they making? And if they were spending that much, they'll be back. That's for sure. They'll be back in the future. And I'm sure those botnets will be reestablished and our spam counts will continue to go up. MySpace. Wow. Yeah, they're still in business. They lost millions of users in the last month. Tech industry analyst ComScore says figures show MySpace lost more than 10 million unique users worldwide between January and February. Said that there were 63 million users of MySpace in February of 2011, down from more than 73 million the month before. Year on year, the site has lost nearly 50 million users, down close to 110 million in February of 2010. So they are, man, they're bleeding at, oh, wow. That's some scary stuff. But everyone's gone to Facebook and Twitter. And a little bad news on the peer-to-peer side. Judges across the country have been hammering away at that group called, the Copyright, U.S. Copyright Group. In other words, that law firm that makes them sound like a big copyright enforcement organization. Peer-to-peer lawyers have scored a victory. Mass subpoenas can proceed. So a federal judge in Washington, D.C. decided that three such cases can continue. And the ISPs involved need to turn over names in a timely fashion. If you remember, Time Warner basically said, we can process about 100 a month for you. So the question is, how will the judge force Time Warner and these other groups to cough up thousands of IP infringers, accused infringers' names in this, what will be a reasonable time? Well, the problem with some of this is that if this U.S. copyright group was forced to file lawsuits individually, they'd have to pay about $350 a piece to file the lawsuits. But instead, they're filing one under one mass lawsuit. I think this is abuse of the judicial system because, you know, there's no money. You know, basically, our judges are going to have to, rule on these. And they're not even getting enough money to cover the cost to do that. But we'll see. This decision is a victory for this group. But there are questions in the ruling basically revolving around jurisdiction. So that may end up being another hang-up for them. All right. The venerable Oxford Dictionary has really been the definitive reference for work on the English language. And I'm sorry to say this, that they have added LOL, OMG, IMHO, TMI, BFF, and other linguistics initialisms to the dictionary. Does anyone go around saying LOL? Does anyone go around saying OMG? IMHO? Do we say that? No, we don't say that. We may write it, but we don't say that. Maybe somebody does. So anyway, they've added that. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's just a sign of the times. Those of you in Europe, if you've been advertising and using keywords to kind of get your way in front of folks that, basically what happens is in the United States, if you were to use the word Apple in an AdWords ad campaign, Google would basically block you from using the word Apple because it would be copyrighted, especially if it was related around some sort of a product. But in the UK, that has not been the case. So an advocate general to the European Court of Justice has recommended that restrictions be placed on the use of keywords owned by other companies through Google itself will likely remain free of liability. And so we could end up with those in the UK being restricted from using keywords that are, especially, well, I guess, specific in Europe. So it must be a European Union thing here. So I apologize for saying the UK. Apparently, those in the European Union will be not allowed to use keywords in your AdSense search campaigns. Not surprising. It's been that way here in the United States for a long time. Hey, Doc Searle's got a good article about Uniting Airlines. He's basically talking about the United / Continental merger. And of course, I fly United almost exclusively and love some of his write-ups. So if you are a United, if you fly United a lot, I'm going to put this link up in the show notes. So you can check it out. I agree with him. I hope the folks over at United and Continental read his posting there because they all hit pretty close to home. Amazon's thinking about launching what they're calling a film and music locker. And basically what they would allow you to do is upload all of your MP3s that you have, all your music, all of your DVD, ripped DVDs, all your movies and stuff, and put them up on the cloud so that no matter where you were at, you would be able to access your media that you own and have licensed in their music and film locker. And this is pretty cool. Now, I don't know how they would implement this, if it would require some sort of DRM or whatever, but they've been talking with the various groups to get permission to do that. Still suffering from a little jet lag here tonight. I apologize, folks, for that. And just happens to just be the way it is. Kodak has went around in a $1 billion Apple RIM patent dispute. Of course, Eastman Kodak won a big verdict against Samsung and one other group earlier last year, which resulted in about $580 million coming into Samsung. Oh, that was $960 million that was settlement reached with Samsung and LG, basically over the same exact patent violation. So it could, this ruling, recent ruling, could allow Kodak to really to start collecting on many of its patents, as that it feels all companies that are using some sort of a camera and some sort of digital processing that is very specific to one of Kodak's patents, where these groups could end up paying a lot of money to Kodak over the next few years. So we'll see where this goes. And, you know, I guess if nothing else, Kodak will be able to make some revenue on patent disputes versus, because they're surely not selling any more film, that's for sure. All right, those of you that were big fans of my blog log, well, yesterday was the last day. Yahoo terminated it. They sent emails to all of the users. I was one of them. They basically said, hey, thank you for being a customer, but we've discontinued the service. And, it's effective May 24th, but they sent the announcement out yesterday, and they're not going to hit our credit cards anymore or anything like that for having a service. But May 24th, my blog log goes away. But the announcement was yesterday. I saw a pretty cool video, and it's about the iPad 2 glass. And you guys saw me do a glass demo at CES. And if you haven't seen that, it's a pretty good one. You'll be able to find it on Geek News Central. Just do glass, Gorilla Glass, CES, and you'll find the video. But when you see this demo, this YouTube video, it's about 3 minutes long, on how they compared iPad 1 and iPad 2 glass, I think you're all going to get a little wide-eyed. I did, that's for sure. And all I can say is the iPad 2 glass does very well as compared to the iPad 1 glass. This next article, and let's see if I can blow this up so I can bring this. This was, let me tell the site first so I give them credit. over at univisualdesign.tumblr.com. Unvisualdesign.tumblr.com. Something was discovered. And if you guys look at this, and if you, those of you have a MacBook Air, look at how the iPhone slips right into that socket perfectly. And basically what it is, the notch in the MacBook Air matches the top curvature of the iPhone. I think that was probably by design. I don't know, but pretty cool discovery by them, and makes you say that, boy, oh boy, the Apple folks are always thinking, that's for sure. Have you ever seen some of those Hubble photos? Have you ever wondered how, you know, basically you see these beautiful multicolor, translucent, it's unbelievable what the Hubble produces. But did you know that Hubble sends those images down in grayscale? There's really no color in them, but yet when we see them online, they're in color. Well, there's a video that's up on Gizmodo. The video reveals how NASA photoshops Hubble's images. And basically, some of these photos take as much as 10 years of scaling, rotating, aligning, color processing, dealing with missing pixels, and artifact restoration. But you got to see this video. It's pretty impressive. It's about 4.5 minutes, but it just goes to show you what they go through. But it really makes you wonder what Hubble is really seeing out there. This is all in grayscale. You just wonder what if they get the colors right and everything as they're working through this. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You'll be able to check it out. Now imagine that you wanted to watch the basketball games here during March Madness, and you ordered it up from Time Warner, and you got your cable bill, and your cable bill came in and said you owed them $16,409,112. Yeah, I think there was something wrong with their billing program. $16,409,112. You got to be one heck of a basketball fan. Or maybe you got billed for everyone's March Madness. Who knows? Let's talk just a little bit about an article that's made some waves across the internet. And a gentleman by the name of Bill Gurley. G-U-R-L-E-Y. If I say girly, I apologize. Don't mean to say girly, but it's girly. I guess that's the right way. But anyway, his website at abovethecrowd.com, he wrote a pretty heavy-handed article today. And this guy's got the chops. He's got the background. He's a VC. He thinks that Android is an unstoppable freight train that will prevail against all of its rivals. He says, for Google is not even a product with a business plan. It's just a weapon at the service of their master's domination strategy, a way to destroy any potential threats that may eventually kill their search monster. This is how they're doing it and the potential consequences. So he basically says, people get ready, there's a train coming. He basically says Google wants to eliminate any potential threat to their castle. Said with Android, they are not building business, they're building a moat. He says, Android may be the end of the software industry as we know it. And I agree. But free software always wins. You know, who wants to pay for something when you get something for free, right? But basically, this was in response to Rim taking a beating in the stock market over having to announce lower fourth quarter EPS estimates by 2 cents. Basically, that's the investment portfolio. And you know, basically how much the stockholders are going to make. And it's all because, you know, some of these businesses are getting slaughtered because of Android and even the iPhone, or even by Apple. But you look at how fast the growth has been of Android devices. I think that Google is onto something here. And it's the 500-pound gorilla for sure. But this is a good read. And I want you to go through and read the whole thing on your own. And take a look at it. But And I sit here and I was kind of shaking my head the entire time going through it. But, you know, one of the things that Warren Buffett has always said is that he says in business, he says he looks for economic castles protected by unbreachable moats. He said an economic castle is a great business, and the unbreachable moat is a strategy or market dynamic that heightens the barriers to entry, makes it difficult or ideally impossible to compete with or gain access to the economic castle. And there's linked in this article, there's a link to an article around 37 signals from a couple of years ago that walks through several different examples of potential moats. But I think Google has built an amazing moat here with Android. Hey, did you know that Iran claimed that they built a flying saucer? I think they just built a little mini UAV that they could fly around with a little remote control, you know, stuff that like our kids have been flying in the backyard or stuff we've been seeing at CES. Yes, they built a UFO. You can see all the clerics looking at it in deep concentration, probably not knowing what they're looking at. But some big people with smiling faces, and yes, they created a flying saucer. It's just a remote-controlled helicopter. Give me a break. Oh, how many are you going to turn your lights off on Saturday for Earth Hour? You know, maybe I'm just going to be a little bit mean, but I think what I'm going to do on Saturday at 8:30 p.m. local, I think I'm going to turn every light on in my house. I'm not politically correct, but I think I'm just going to do it. I think I'm just going to go through and turn on every light and maybe even point flashlights out the window. Are you going to turn your lights off? You know, I'll be honest. We were having about 3 years ago when this Earth Hour started. We went into a restaurant. We were in Columbus, Ohio. The Raw Voice team was getting together. And the waitresses were tripping, spilling trays of food. We couldn't read the menus. They had candles. People were like napkins on fire. I mean, it was insane. They had the lights off for Earth Hour, wanted to be green and protecting the planet, but yet people were getting hurt. Food was getting spilled, stuff getting splashed. Are you a restaurant owner? Are you going to turn your lights down for Earth Hour and put candles out? Not I. Not me. NASA had a funeral today, or yesterday, actually. The Stardust spacecraft, which recently did the flyby of a comet, they decided it had done its mission. The $300 million, 12-year mission has come to an end. They, I don't know why they did this, and I don't know if the spacecraft had a nuclear power plant or not. They don't go into that detail. I guess I could dig around and find it. But instead, they burn up the rest of the propellant, 146-second burn. I don't know where they were pushing the spacecraft towards. Maybe, hopefully, they're pushing it outward towards the boundary area or something. But it's basically they killed the spacecraft, and the mission has come to a close. So your taxpayer dollars are worth $300 million. Done. It's finished. It's I guess it's run on solar power. So I guess it'll stay online as long as it can has a view of the sun. But it's done, and they killed it. Astronaut Mark Kelly said yesterday that there's a good chance his wife, Congressman Gabrielle Giffords, will be able to attend his upcoming launch on Space Shuttle Endeavor. Of course, I believe that launch is going to be April 19th. So it'll be nice to see if she's able to leave rehab in Arizona to come for the launch at the Kennedy Space Center. Always looking for cool icons and stuff. And you have to be careful out there and downloading stuff to make sure that what you're getting is not copyrighted. So if you're looking for some cool icons, the folks over at Web Designer Depot have put a bunch of them together for you. And they're just kind of little cute ones you can use on your websites and so forth. And I'll bring them up and show them to you in the on the side here. But they're basically appliance icons. They got a microwave. They've got a light bulb, dishwasher, So some fun stuff to use. They're open source. You'll be able to go and get them and don't have to pay for the utilization either on commercial or non-commercial websites. So nice to see people do that from time to time. Those of you would be very happy to know that even though U.S. Copyright Group did a big had a big win here in the court system, the thousands of accused BitTorrent downloaders, including those that were being chased over the Hurt Locker, can breathe a sign of relief that their cases have been dropped. And what can be described as a major victory for those targeted, the complicated nature of these lawsuits has forced the copyright owners to really regroup here. We'll see what happens next. But at least in those cases, they dropped them. Now, I didn't know this, but I guess this Hurt Locker movie apparently ruined some Army bomb disposal guy's career, and he's actually sued the filmmakers of the Hurt Locker. And I was reading about that last week over at the dailymail.co.uk. It basically says that they portrayed him in a way that makes him look bad to his fellow soldiers. So he's suing them for money. So we'll see what happens here. Hey, if you're a user of Pirate Bay, the pirate user database has been compromised and exploited again. So if you've been getting some mass emails, don't be surprised. It could be because your user account data, again, has been hacked. And the folks at the Pirate Bay are promising to get that locked down. U.S. music piracy is plunging after LimeWire was shut down. Apparently, 43% peer-to-peer activity. The number of downloads of music and different types of files is down by 43% since the last quarter of 2010. And they feel that this decline is largely due to the unavailability of LimeWire. And the data comes from an extensive survey of over 5,000 Americans. And translated into the entire population, it means that the number of music pirates has decreased from 28 million to 16 million in just a year. So we'll see if these numbers hold up as time goes on. All right, got some cool stuff here for you too. Smashing Magazine, photo retouching tips and tricks in Photoshop. You know, I am not a graphics person. Anytime I can get some free ideas and tricks and tips to use on retouching stuff in Photoshop, I always bookmark this type of stuff. So I got a great article for you that was put together by Smashing Magazine. And I have a link up in the show notes for you. So if you use Photoshop to edit your photos, and if you're not not handy like I am, this is going to these tips will definitely help you out. And then you see some of this stuff, you're like, oh, that's what that does. And I still can't do as good a job as a lot of these professionals do. That's for sure. All right, this is the best kind of toilet paper in the whole world. Wait till you guys see this picture. All right. Ever get accused of using too much? Or do you accuse your kids of using too much toilet paper? Well, now they've got a measuring tape toilet roll. First of all, I don't know if I want to put anything that has yellow ink. Yellow and black ink. I don't know. I think I want to use that anywhere sensitive. But for $6.99 a roll, at least you can have this in for as a, put it in your bathroom during a party or something and get a good laugh. Probably no one will actually use it. They'll probably want to take some of it home and show it off. But at least you can say I only used 4 inches or 6 or 8 or 12 or used 24 or 36. So anyway, they can measure off how much TP you're using. Toshiba has announced a USB-powered mobile monitor. And, of course, this is powered by DisplayLink. You guys have seen DisplayLink monitors before. But this is just a new monitor that's come out and is available. We're going to see if this loads up. This was, again, another article over on Ogizmo. And for $199, you can get a monitor that has a capability of doing a resolution of 1366 by 768. It's only 14 inches, but the purpose here is these things are so small, you can travel with them, and you don't need to, you just put it in your computer bag in your other slot, and you've got an extra monitor to work with that you just hook up with a USB cord. No power cord is required, and it really has a DisplayLink technology built right in. for those of you that are podcasters, video podcasters primarily, this is a great product. And I don't know why anyone else would want this, but it's a, it's called Roxio Game Capture. You put this device in between your gaming console and your television, and it'll actually record your gameplay. And I think this is pretty cool. So capture, edit, and share Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 gameplay. There's going to be some more devices coming out to, I think, cover the Wii as well here in the near future. But they have a full review of how this thing works. And I know that a lot of podcasters that do video stuff where they capture games, game recordings, I think they're really going to, this is going to help them in increasing their production value here. But it does require you to plug your this box into your PC, and I think right now it's only for the Mac at this point. I don't know if it's PC-based or not. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes for that. Now, when I broke my back in 2004, one thing I had a big trouble doing was putting on my socks. I could get dressed almost, I could get my pants on by flipping the pants around and kind of wiggling into them. But when I broke my back, was in my full... basically it wasn't a body cast, but it was one of those clamshells. I struggled. I'd have to lay on my side and reach back and pull my leg into a contortion just to get my socks on. But for those of you that have a medical issue, now I can put my socks on just fine now, but if you want to, have some assistance in putting your socks on, there's a device for you now. And, $14.98. For those of you that may have a medical issue or can't bend over far enough to reach your toes, this will help you get a little bit of an extension to help you put your socks on. How well this thing works, I have no idea, but I was able to get my socks on. People should be able to get theirs on as well. You know, when you can't bend over and I still got my socks on, you know, it, oh man, what people will come up with. I'm sure it's going to sell a lot of these things. I'm sure that comes in real handy and getting put them on fast too. How many of you have heard about this product called the Joystick IT? It's basically you use it to play games on the iPad. It's an arcade stick, and I didn't even know these things existed, but an accessory that you can get. The folks at Ogizmo were giving some of these away, but I was just amazed that they actually have a iPad arcade stick so that you can, like, I guess it's for doing Pong or bouncing little objects around and so forth. But anyway, that have a link up to that in show notes. Getting into just a little more tech stuff here. I'm going to be running long. I got to get into some audio comments. Those of you who do use the Miro video player, it's coming to the iPad and Android. So they're expanding where that availability of that product is. So look forward to that coming online. Hey, those of you that have downloaded Firefox version 4, when you're watching the video on Geek News Central, it's going to be coming to you in WebM. Love to hear your feedback on how that video looks as compared to the M4V video. Of course, Firefox 4 is now out and available. They've had a huge number of downloads. Of course, we had a good write-up about this by one of our writers at geeknewscentral.com. And essentially, in the first 48 hours since Firefox 4 has been launched, they've seen 15.85 million downloads. They've had, let's see here. Oh, that was weird. How did I get feedback? I heard myself. Anyway, 10,200 peak downloads per minute, 5,503 average downloads per minute, 91.7 downloads per second. So anyway, this goes on and on and on. So definitely want to check that out. But Firefox 4 is available, and I hope that you've upgraded already. It seems to be a pretty good update. And I've got a whole bunch of how-to articles here talking about Firefox, not losing your tabs, and being able to use some cool plugins to be able to manage your the way Firefox 4 looks like and even revert it back to make it look like Firefox version 3. So I have those links up in the show notes. Also, if you're looking to keep your PC clean, CC Cleaner has been updated to support IE9 and Firefox 4. So that's available. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you as well. Let's see here. I don't have that link. I got some tips for Microsoft. How many of you use the Send To model menus, the Send To menu? Did you know you can add extra stuff to the Send To menu? There's a little trick to do that. I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. And we'll skip that one. Those of you that are Android users, if you've had, there's some things that people are not real happy about, like silencing your phone at night or accidental phone calls. They got some ways for you to modify your Android handset to kind of overcome those annoyances. I have the link up on that. That was from makeuseof.com. I got a pretty good instructions there. And one of the articles I think is really good here tonight that I'm linking you to is how to set up your home, how to set up home sharing on your Apple mobile device. So, you know, this took Apple a long time, but now you can finally stream the contents of your iTunes library on your Mac or PC to your iPhone 3G or iPhone 4, fourth generation iPod Touch, or either version of your iPad without using third-party applications. So this is pretty cool, and you got some instructions on how to set that up on your phone and on your home network as well. KL, one of our writers at Geek News Central, wrote up an article about Video Hunters. And basically, it's an application that allows you to watch YouTube videos and find YouTube videos in a much cleaner interface. She's been completely enthralled with this, so I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out this this iPad application called Video Hunters. Oh, let's see here. What else did I have? Oh, I wanted to play this. Do I have time? Yeah, I have time. Let me play this for you. And you'll be able to hear it. And I'm going to actually show it on the screen for everyone else. But let me go ahead and play this here.
We're quite content to be the odd browser out. We don't have a fancy stock abbreviation to go alongside our name in the press. We don't have a profit margin. We don't have sacred rock stars that we put above others. We don't make the same deals, sign the same contracts, or shake the same hands as everyone else. And all of this is fine by us. We're a pack of independently spirited, fiercely unconventional people who do things a little differently. Where another company may value the bottom line, we value, well, values. When a competitor considers making something proprietary, we strive to set it free. And while most products and technologies are developed behind closed doors, ours are cultivated out in the open for everyone to see. We're not beholden to stake, share, or power holders. We answer to no one but you. And we don't operate this way for the fun of it, even though it is incredibly fun. We operate this way because we believe it's the right thing to do. We believe in principle over profit. We believe that secrecy is trumped by honesty, and corporate interest by community. We believe that the web is more cared for than owned, more of a resource to be tended to than a mere commodity to be sold. And we strongly believe in innovation that puts users front and center and squarely in the driver's seat. But most importantly, we believe in you. We believe that the world's best browser is made possible by engineers, programmers, designers, and people just like you, who give their time, talents, energy, and support to the cause. And we believe that together, with this cause in mind, we can continue to innovate for the benefit of the individual and the betterment of the web, so that it always and forever serves the greater good. We are all Mozilla Firefox, and we're not just a different kind of browser. We're a browser that's making a difference.
I thought that was a cool video. I thought they did a great job. I hope you guys enjoyed that portion. I don't normally play videos that long on the show, but just had to do that in the spirit of the launch of Firefox version 4.0. Go out there, get it, download it, try it, use it. Let us know what you think. Do you love it, hate it? You know, and what's funny is looking at IE9, looking at Firefox version 4, looking at Chrome, these browsers are all looking pretty close together. From one to the next. So pretty cool stuff. Hey, iOS version 4.3.1 is available. Software update, mostly bug fixes. It's not a major update, so if you want to put it off a few days, it's fine to do so. But if you do, there is a jailbreak already available for it, so you don't have to worry about not running around with a jailbroke device. All right, let me go ahead here, and we're at the end of the regular content for the show, and I want to get into I've got some audio comments tonight. And I've got two voicemails that have come in. If you've got comments on today's show, you can geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Here's the first audio content. We're going to go quickly through these back to back. Here we go on the first one.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago. Hey, I meant to call you on the weekend. I'm just getting caught up with some of the shows. You asked one of the shows last week regarding live stream and what we thought about it. I just want to give you a heads up. About 3 years ago, before the name had changed to live stream, we had gone ahead and tried to set up an account to see if we could provide some live streaming service. What we found out was that the service is very slow, very lethargic, and just was not worthwhile, and Blip TV was pretty much the better alternative for any kind of live streaming that we're going to be doing. I think what they're trying to do is really cool. I don't think they have the system in place to make it run the way it really needs to run. And on top of that, the price for the device that they're offering for you to use is expensive. As cool as that thing is, the mobile streaming device, it is a lot of money. So it's unfortunate that they went the way that they did in the sense where they pushed the price point trying to push their services for, I'm assuming, for broadcasters and larger, media entities. It seems like that's how they've gone. I think it's a great opportunity. If you want to play around with it, I think it's great. I think what you'll see is maybe the bandwidth is not where you'd like your shows to be. So anyway, that's about it on that. One other quick question is, no, that's actually all I got. So hey, keep up the good work, and those are just my 2 cents. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's weird. The audio continues. I guess it was it. Okay. One thing I will say about that is, as compared to other, I'm over here on this camera, as compared to other devices that are, okay, for example, if you want to run LiveView and do their streaming backpack, it's like $2,000 to $3,000 a month to rent that device. So you're looking at like $30,000 a year to rent a LiveView device. Now, that little converter that they're selling is like $2,000, but you add a single EVDO card that you can use other places, that's cheap. It's expensive, but in the scheme of things, it's cheap. Now, there doesn't have like multi-home cards, but it's set up to work on the 4G network. So, we were streaming before on, the very early EVDO. You guys know when I was hunting for a house, we were driving around doing live video streaming. So I think the price point, even though it's $1,900 for that application, as compared to the competitors, cheap. And you hate to see that over a $2,000 price item, but that's a true. Thanks, Tom, for calling and providing your feedback. And I just need to see what they're doing over their live stream a little bit more and get a handle on it before I would consider making the jump. But I do appreciate the feedback. Okay, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. Guess who? Randy here. You're talking about Blogger.
Yeah.
And WordPress. Actually, I got a couple of comments here, but I'm trying to keep this one on point. Maybe I'll call you back with another one. Probably send you an email. Anyway, Blogger. For $10, you can take a Blogger blog and get it registered via Google and the Blogger blog. And if you do it through the Blogger interface, my Pimping the Penguin blog is a Blogger blog. And it was the first one I tried. It's really great for simplified blogging. Basic blogging tools. Yes, WordPress, Drupal. Drupal's probably in another class all by itself. But for most of the standard stuff that a person's going to want to do for a blog, Blogger will be great. And for the $10 a year, you get the domain, and you get, they hook you up automatically with a Google site account that's connected to that blog. If you register that blog domain through the Blogger interface, that's all automatic. It makes it pretty easy. And with that Google Sites site, you can upload other files that you would, say, FTP to a WordPress blog. The nice thing about Blogger is you're not constantly inundated with updates for your widgets and things like that with WordPress. You're not the hosting. I've had hosting issues when I was running the Juice Penguin blog, or actually Outcast. It was WordPress. It was hosted at a 1&1 and at GoDaddy at various times, and you can run into the whole bandwidth issue. Using Blogger, you don't have that issue. It'll scale. You don't have to worry about it. That $10 covers that. So, you know, having WordPress and all the power it's also fragile. And, you know, there's a trade-off. So whatever you do, there's always going to be a trade-off. I enjoy Blogger, and I hope to write some more articles about Blogger and tweaks to it. There's very little you can't do with it as far as on a professional or business-type scale. So, you know, I think that if anyone wants to get into it and they're worried about being able to have their own domain, they shouldn't. You know, that $10 is pretty darn cheap. And having that bandwidth and being accessed is easily right there off of a Google network, it's covered. So, anyway, yeah, go Blogger. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the feedback. And I guess the one thing that we see a lot of podcasters having trouble
with. Hey, Todd.
I had this thing on repeat. Sorry about that. One thing that we see on Blogger is that they, you know, Google is big time Adam. They're not big time RSS. So we've seen a lot of podcasters have trouble using Blogger. I guess I'm not impressed so much with their interface and the basically being able to bring in different templates. I guess from a basic, easy peasy standpoint, it's probably good. I think if I was going to choose between Blogger and WordPress.com, I would probably pick WordPress.com for a free blog if I was going to do it that way. But I don't know. I just still like the ability to control and upload the plugins that I want and add features that I want without having to be restricted by basically a very basic service. But I do understand where Blogger comes in and makes it easy for people that don't really want to get in that deep. But I do know that free is free. That's attractive. But the $10 to have a domain, that's cheap too, as far as being able to associate a domain with a Blogger account. Thanks everybody for the calling in today, Tom and everyone else. Thanks for calling in. And again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Real quick here, some emails. Got an email from Dano. He says, "Hey Todd, love the show. What has actually worked best for me," and this is in reference to business cards, "what has actually worked best for me is simply to email people on the spot when I meet them via my smartphone. From there, I usually get an email back and can build upon the relationship, be it Twitter, LinkedIn, phone number, meet in person again, etc. I'm not sure how this would work in a conference atmosphere. I've only really done this for meetups. Keep up the great show. Hope your friends and family are safe." Yeah, we're all good. And thanks, Dano, from that. I definitely appreciate it. I think from a standpoint at a trade show, you know, people just aren't giving out. It's not feasible. Business cards are still kind of the way to go, at least I think it is. I got an email here from Frank. He says, "NASA opens new facility at Wallops Island, Virginia." So he's got a link up that to me in the show notes. Thanks for that, Frank. If you live here in Hawaii, Hawaii phone carriers are offering free calls and texts to Japan. This is a pretty good deal. 7 telecommunication providers that service Hawaii are offering free calls to assist customers in contacting family and friends following the March 11th earthquake. And it's going to be all the way through like April 7th. So I don't know if they're doing that in your area, but they're doing that here in Honolulu. Got an email from Andrew. He says, "Hey, Todd, I hope all is well. I know you've spoken about waste and oceans in the past, and this is a good example of what we're doing to our planet. This is an article that's over on independentco.uk, and talks about plastic found in a single turtle's stomach. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Andrew. Got an email here from Ken. He said, hey, Todd, suggestion for your next show, unless you don't want to upset the fanboys. He says, well, this is about Apple suing everyone for using the App Store name. We know that Apple sued Amazon this week because they used App Store in the name, and they actually went after another site as well. But I agree. Apple is making a preposterous claim to the trademark office that they invented the App Store concept and name, and they're asking a judge, of course, to stop Amazon from even using the word App Store. I think this is a little bit off the chart as well. We'll see where they get with this. But they say, that means Apple. No, it doesn't. It means application. Has nothing to do with Apple. It means app, application. And we've been saying apps for a long time, long before Apple did the App Store. Give me a break. I agree. Thanks for your email, Ken, on this. I want to give a shout out to Lou over at the Lou Trek Show. He's going to be doing his 100th show here in about a month. And this is quite an accomplishment. I think he's a little bit a ways away, but just kind of do an early shout out. If you guys haven't checked out the Lou Trek Show at loutrekshow.com, make sure you do that. He's one of our members over at the Tech Podcast Network. Got a great email here from Trucker Tom. He said, so the camera never lies. He says, high-tech new device comes with airbrush function, but will even whiten your teeth. So this is an article that's on the dailymail.co.uk, and it's about some tools right inside the camera that will actually do some cleanup of people's complexions and make their teeth whiter, their lips redder, the eyes bluer, et cetera, right within the camera. So thanks for that from Trucker Tom. All right, folks, got to go. We're long. So thanks for hanging out with me. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. We'll be back with you on Monday for the regular show. Hope you'll join me on Saturday morning, which is just a few short hours away, for the Saturday Morning Tech Show. We'll have about an hour and a half of tech commentary and discussions about all the tech that happened this past week. My trick is going to be is to finding some new stuff to talk about, but that won't be a problem. But we've been huge long today. Thanks for being patient with me. Makes up for not having a show on Monday. But until next time, everyone take care and aloha.